Chair, High Commissioner Mr. Gandhi, Excellencies, Ladies and Gentlemen. At the outset, we express our gratitude to Assistant High Commissioner Ms. Julian for her commendable service to this august organization and wish all the best in her future endeavors. We thank the Deputy High Commissioner for her statement on the proposed program budget for 2024. We take note of the report on the program budget for 2024 of the Office of the High Commissioner for Refugees. We note a budget cut for the Asia and the Pacific region for the year 2024 and the stagnation in the annual program budget for Bangladesh. As we continue to host 1.2 million Rohingyas living in Cox's Bazar and Bashanchor and experiencing a situation of around 32,000 newborn children annually, a no growth budget for Bangladesh operations makes us concerned. Madam Chair, we note that the budget document makes estimates of donations. While we appreciate the continued generous support from donors, the unquantifiable contribution made by host countries remains unrecognized. Host countries bear immense burden economically, environmentally, socially, politically, security-wise, and even diplomatically. This opportunity cost need to be duly recognized and appreciated as we uphold the spirit of burden and responsibility sharing. In this backdrop, the costing exercise of refugee hosting must be a comprehensive one, incorporating financial, economic, social, ecological, political, and security cost of the host countries, as well as various aspects of donor support. Apart from providing huge acres of fertile land for the refugee camps in Bangladesh, the government of Bangladesh has deployed more than 500 public officials, 3,000 committed security personnel, other security agencies for management of camps and maintaining the security. Our government seems to be the largest donor of the humanitarian operations for the Rohingyas, spending an estimated amount of $1.69 billion USD last year. We are spending this huge amount almost every year for the massive humanitarian operations, ensuring safety and security in and around camps, restoration of the environment, and mitigation of sufferings of the Rohingyas and the host community. Recently, we have developed Bashanchor with around $350 million USD from our own budget to voluntarily relocate 100,000 forcibly displaced Myanmar nationals to decongest the camps in Cox's Bazar, which is the largest camp in the world. We expect that UNHCR to work with the international community to further improve conditions there and to invest in livelihood options for the Rohingya in Bashanchor. Madam Chair, we want to ensure protection and well-being of all refugees and forcibly displaced people. Refugees can be of various sexes, genders, age groups, ethnicity, race, language, and religious groups. But these attributes and differences should not be a barrier in receiving humanitarian assistance and other supports. We want to see non-discriminatory policy continuing in the work of UNHCR, and all forcibly displaced people must be eligible to basic services, humanitarian and life-saving assistance solely based on their vulnerabilities. In the same line, we do not want to see profiling of refugees and displaced people in various sexual orientation and gender identity. Limited resources can be better utilized if we mobilize our efforts for the betterment of over 120 million refugees across the world and do not get caught in less important and extraneous issues related to nomenclature. Binary and non-binary persons all must be included in the program and activities of UNHCR without discrimination. Finally, any phrase used should not generate unnecessary emotions related to nomenclature and create avoidable debate, while our primary objective is to ensure that all refugees, asylum seekers, stateless persons, and people of mixed movement enjoy equitable protection and humanitarian assistance from the programs run by the UNHCR. I thank you.